It is Tuesday night. It's April 2nd, 2024. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page, X account, channel, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and the Boiler Breakdown YouTube channel. Please click like, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff if you haven't already. And if you're listening to the podcast on your favorite audio podcast platform, please hit that follow or subscribe button. Give us a rating and review. We really appreciate it. With all that said, I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb and Andrew Eiler in the house tonight's full house. And that's because
is it a big episode or something?
The first time in 44 years, the Purdue Boilermakers are headed back to the Final Four. I've been waiting to say those words on this podcast since we started 5 years ago.
Still doesn't seem real.
It doesn't.
I can't wrap my head around it.
It does not. Evan, you and I had the pleasure of being there. We were lucky enough to be there on Sunday. And I don't know about you, but I really couldn't even breathe a sigh of relief until the clock hit zero.
Yeah, I was trying to go back and figure out how I was during the game because I was all over the place, obviously. I felt weirdly confident when Lance hit that three. I was going back. Yes. I meant to go back and look at the timestamps. I think it was like 2.5 minutes ago. I was like, wow.
Yeah, 2:26,
like,
I believe.
It was like in my head, yeah. I feel like there was like a minute left. And it was like, you know, that was kind of like the ice on cake. It's like, no, we still had quite a bit of game left. But yeah, when Zach had that block on connect, that's kind of where I was just like, I think this is going to happen. Like it wasn't like, it was a 6-point game roughly or whatever. I definitely had a little better feeling than I had, because I kept going back to obviously Louisville in 2019 against Virginia. I kind of kept in the back of my mind. I was like, don't get too excited yet, but I think for whatever reason, this team just hasn't wavered all year in these types of situations. So it gave me a lot of confidence in this team. And, obviously I waited until the clock hit zero to really celebrate, but I was like, man, I felt really good with like a minute left, and it was just like, get this game over with now before break my heart.
Yeah, I guess I can kind of admit too, after the 80s block of connect, I kind of did a little more relaxed, but I still felt like I couldn't really relax until Tennessee missed their last shot attempt and then Purdue got a rebound. It's like, all right, now we can celebrate and party.
It is sad when it's like a 6-point game with like 20 seconds left and you're like, it's not over yet.
No, it's like, okay, they could still come down, hit three, get fouled, intercept the inbounds pass, hit a three, and then.
Yeah, because we have seen, throughout the year, pretty inability to get an inbound in. Not that it was everything, it happened a lot, but it happened enough to where it was like, okay, like 6 points felt like it was still pretty close. If it had been like 7 or 8, I probably felt a lot better. But we kept kind of missing the one-on-ones, but shout out to the lawyer for knocking some clutch free throws down at the end. I'm still kind of just in disbelief.
Just the stars kind of lined up. I mean, Purdue definitely didn't have the easiest path. It's not like the bracket broke their way by any means, having to be a 16, an 8, then a 5, then a 2.
I mean, it went pretty chalk. I mean, whole bracket. I mean,
the Midwest bracket was, nothing crazy.
But the stars aligned as far as locations were concerned.
Oh,
having to play in Indianapolis, then Detroit. I remember in 2019 after that Louisville regional final game, it's like, I don't know if we're going to get a chance to get that close to home again for a while. But
the other teams that were one seeds weren't teams that would be vying for that Midwest bracket as well. Like that also obviously is some luck in that, UConn wants the East, Carolina's the only one that probably was different. But had Kansas, been good this, been really good this year, they probably would have been vying for that number one. But yeah, there's just kind of the way it just kind of fell out. Purdue was the lone one seed that was really wanting the Midwest bracket.
Yep. Absolutely. I know Indianapolis hosts a regional next year.
Oh, do they?
And it's interesting how I remember that for a while they were playing regionals even at football stadiums, but they've kind of come back, and now they're doing basketball arenas clear up until the Final Four.
Yeah, which makes, it makes it so much better.
It does.
It's so much more enjoyable.
It does.
Man, shout out to Little Caesars. That, yeah, that arena was awesome.
Very nice
to really walk around because we got there with like 20 minutes till game time. So we kind of were hurrying to get some food, go to the bathroom, all that kind of stuff. And so I never really got a chance to really walk around, but we saw like there was like a restaurant in the main level. But I mean, that was a state of the art arena. Looked awesome. I was talking with a friend of mine who went to Purdue. He lives up in Detroit now. He's a huge Red Wings fan. He's like, you got to come up for a hockey game. And the place is awesome during hockey games. So I'd like to go back. That's for sure.
I was surprised by the amount of Piston stuff over Red Wings stuff around the arena, just given the fact that I know the Pistons are a three-time NBA world champion, but the Red Wings are – they've won more cups than that, I believe. And Red Wings are a lot better this year than the Pistons.
Yeah,
Pistons are pretty painful.
They're pretty awful.
And Jaden Ivey stuff.
They had a mannequin with his jersey on it.
Okay.
I didn't see that. Dang it.
You could put your head up and take a picture if you wanted to.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was right in by the front of the lobby. And he was at the game. They showed him on the Jumbotron.
I didn't get to see that, man.
Yeah, it's funny because my dad was giving my dad, my sister, and her boyfriend. But my dad at one point, he's like, you think Jaden's here? I'm like, yeah, there's no way. Like, he's probably got a game. Like, that's the reason why the game's here, because they have probably games elsewhere. And, like, I swear 5 minutes later, they showed him on the Jumbotron. I was like, well, I was wrong.
I knew they were off on Sunday and then had a game Monday. And so I was thinking, I was hoping he'd be there, because I know he and Matt still have a really good relationship. And then they also showed, I can't think of his name, the Pistons' number 5 draft pick last year.
Sorry, Thompson.
Pick. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. That's what I was like. I didn't know if I was like, did he? I said the name. I recognize the name, but I was like, did he play at Tennessee? Because I felt like he got like in this
overtime elite
defense. Yeah. So then I was like, I don't think he played Tennessee, but it's not like he got a lot of like, he got a pretty big applause. I was like, oh, it must be a Tennessee alum. But I completely like forgot that he just came into the league.
Former Tennessee volunteer quarterback Josh Dobbs was there. He wasn't showing the screen, but he was a couple in front of me getting into the building. He was pretty recognizable. So,
yeah.
And I believe he had somebody in the line said he had another NFL player with him, but I didn't catch the name and didn't recognize him. But Josh Dobbs was in the house. So he's a smart dude, aeronautical engineer.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the NFL quarterback. So, yeah. Yeah. So, but enough Tennessee talk. But it was a thing of beauty to beat Tennessee again. Matt Painter is now 4-1 against Tennessee, 11-4 against the SEC overall, which that surprised me when I read that stat. But I'm still good not to see Tennessee in anything for a while. I mean, I have Tennessee fatigue a little bit.
Yeah, I never really see them ever again. Because it's like excited. I had some friends who are Tennessee fans and coworkers and all that. And it was just like, in my head, it was just like kind of how I felt against with Gonzaga, because Purdue had, you know, really good. I mean, I hadn't lost to Gonzaga technically in our history. It was just like, it's got to end some point. I mean, it was kind of go back to, you know, the IU streak of like, eventually this is going to end. And it's like, God, I don't want it to end this time. This would be the worst way to do it. Just like on Friday against Gonzaga, it's like, you know, can't lose to him now, like lose to him in next year in some tournament or whatever, but not now. And thankfully took care of business on Friday, and then yes, Sunday was just incredible.
It was weird going into the game Sunday. I felt more confident than I did going into Friday's game against Gonzaga. I don't know why.
I thought going into Gonzaga, they only played 7. And Tennessee, you know, they're the type that, not this year because Purdue's different this year, but historically those physical athletic teams are like, okay, they're the ones that give Purdue trouble. But not this year, clearly, because they've beaten all those teams this year outside of, I mean, the games they lost were not that type of team. But the teams that you think should give really anybody trouble, honestly, but
right.
Yeah.
I think I was probably with you. I think I was more confident in the Tennessee game just because I felt like, you know, Kinnick was probably gonna do what Kinnick does, which he's an incredible player. But like, I feel like I pay attention to them kind of throughout the year, just because again, it was like, you know, every time you looked at bracketology, it felt like Purdue was the 1, Tennessee was the 2. So I was kind of just trying to follow along with them, like either hoping that they bump up to a 1 or maybe they bump down to a 3 or something. I don't know. And games like the games they got beat, it was usually like they just nothing went right for them. Like it wasn't like it was close games. Like there was a couple games where they just get blown out. They got blown out in the first round of the SEC tournament. So it was like they were prone to have really bad offensive days. I mean, they're a good offensive team, but you still got to be able to score the ball. Whereas with Gonzaga, I was like, man, you know, I know Purdue beat them by 10 in Maui, but you know, they've seemed to have improved a lot over the year. And you know, they're athletic and they can fill it up real quick. And so I felt like that was the game where I was like, I mean, if they get hot, like, you know, watch out. And thankfully they didn't.
Yeah, and I think it was more, for me, Mark Few over Rick Barnes.
Yes,
not that, that Rick, too. I'm not saying Rick Barnes is a bad coach by any means, but he got the one Final Four in his coaching career, and that was at Texas. He hasn't done it. Tennessee, nobody's done it at Tennessee. Tennessee, this was only the second Elite Eight they've ever made.
When they said that, when they got, I was kind of shocked by that, honestly, that they hadn't been to a Final Four. When they saw that, I was like, oh, great.
Well, I was shocked when they made the Elite Eight that it was only the second time. First time since 2010. Cool. I'm like, wow. But Gonzaga, of course, I mean, they've made Sweet 16 9 straight years, which is just stupid.
That even in an off year this year. Mind blowing. Yeah.
Yeah, they still get through Sweet 16. So, but yeah, I thought Matt Painter.
They're also like a one or a two every year. So, like,
right, you're right. Sweet 16, you're right.
They've got a pretty theoretically easy couple of games, easier than if they're five.
You're like
this year, four or five. Yeah.
But I thought Matt Painter coached circles around Mark Few Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was one of the better coach games I've seen Matt. I mean, Matt hasn't had, he's had a lot of them, but I just thought Friday stuck out. I thought it was masterful Friday night.
It seems like the last like 2 weeks, whenever coming out of halftime, the first like 4 minutes, Purdue just dominates.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then even, I guess even the Tennessee going the last 5 minutes of that first half when they got down 11 real quick and then went on like a 13-2 run or 15-2 run. Within like a minute and a half or something, it felt like super quick. When,
I don't know.
I mean, it's great. Painter's gotten a lot of
notoriety this week as he should have.
I mean, I think he's kind of gotten it, but it's been like, oh yeah, he's like in that next rung of coaches. But now it's validation, and it's been pretty cool to see all of everybody's like jumping on. Like, yeah, Matt Painter's a great guy who deserves this.
Yeah. Yep, he's definitely getting his flowers that he's probably deserved to get for a long time, and got a chance to get even more flowers because there's still two games to go, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully two games to go, and I think the guys realized that. I think, you know, they were saying all the right things after the game, after the Tennessee game, how, you know, this is great, they're going to enjoy it, but at the same time, it's not done.
Was that the first – because, like, I mean, obviously the first – and okay, they beat Grambling State and then
Yeah, Mitch Melton here on Facebook saying calling Morton in for the two fouls at the end of the half was bigger than it seemed at the time. Mm-hmm. No momentum going into the half.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was I was like, when he brought it in, I was like, oh, okay, you can bring Morton in, you know, whatever. I was like, oh, yeah, defensive, like, you know, maybe just get one more defender on there. And then he did it. I was like, oh, he's doing it. He's just sacrificing fouls, like, so no one else gets up a cheap foul just to stop them from, you know, getting a good look. And I was like, yeah, that was – shout out to Morton, man. I mean, he gets obviously a lot of crap. You know, obviously not, you know, great offensively, but like he doesn't seem to have a bad attitude at all. Like, you know, he's like, he always smiles on the bench. He seems like he's really like taking some guys under their wing, especially like Miles and Cam. And he's just, he sacrificed a lot, which is just really cool for a kid who, you know, obviously had a lot of, you know, I mean, he had a lot of kind of hype, a lot of hype coming in this. I mean, he was a top, you know, 80 kid, you know, wanted by a lot of really good schools. Ultimate Boilermaker for sure.
Yep. Shout out to him. And
how interesting, the rotation change.
Tightened up a little bit.
I mean, Morton and First have played like single-digit minutes, I guess, outside of the blowout of
Utah State and
everything. I mean, even that, they really can, only played less than 10 minutes.
Morton and First for Cam and Colvin. Unless it was just someone, once it got to tournament time, I think Painter's, you know, decided to – we need more athletes out there.
Higher ceiling. I mean, nothing against those two, but yeah, they can change the game a lot quicker. They can't. I mean, but yeah,
super interesting.
Cameron Day on YouTube: who can run a faster 400 meter, Edie or Cam Allen? My money is on Edie.
Edie's got those long strides.
He does. He runs better than people think. Ken on YouTube: hey all, is this not the best week ever? It's pretty good.
How much work did you guys get done Monday, Tuesday? You've probably just been reading listening and everything. Yeah.
Yesterday was a little struggle. Today was fine, but yesterday was a little bit of struggle because I just wanted to listen to anything I could get my ears on Purdue related. even some of the national talking heads, you know, some that I thought had been tough on Purdue in the past, like Colin Coward.
See, Colin was giving Purdue some praise. I was like, holy cow.
Bro Edie big time. Yeah. Today. Talking about him today and yesterday. So I was like, wow. Maybe he's finally over that big time bet he lost in 04. Rumor has it. Rumor and innuendo.
Yeah.
So, but no, it's I'm just trying to enjoy the week. I mean, no, I know as a fan, come Saturday, I'm getting ready to roll against NC State, but just trying to bask it in because we've never got to experience this us three before. So
I was thinking about it. I can remember when Caleb Swanigan and Purdue lost, and I was like, if it doesn't happen this year when Purdue has a National Player of the Year candidate, I was like, when are they going to have a National Player of the Year candidate? I remember thinking that at the time, like, oh, Purdue's not going to have someone like this guy again, and then here they are. With
not I
back to back National Player of the Year,
and I've said this, I've said this quite a few times, but I feel like I go back to like 2016. I think it's when it started with like Hammonds as a senior. I was like, man, like I don't know how this, we're gonna get better than this team. The next year,
exactly,
It was like, you know, we had Biggie as a sophomore. Made the Sweet 16. It's like, dang, like, yeah, like it was like, yeah, it's not next year. Then it was, then Isaac and PJ, those guys senior year, was like, holy, okay, we won like 17 in a row, whatever, you know, would have been a three seed or whatever. It was like, dang, this was our chance. Injury, you know, never gonna happen again. The next year was the Elite Eight. It was like, we're not gonna have a guard like this ever again. It's never gonna happen again. And then, yeah, Ivy is like, God, if we don't have Ivy, like, you know, that's what you want in March is that dominant guard. And then, lo and behold, here we are. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's wild as how it's all.
I mean, a lot of I don't know who it was. One of the national media was talking about, like, is this the greatest, like, roster construction they've seen? Because you've got Edie, the most dominant big man, surrounded by
Braden Smith,
Fletcher Lawyer, Mason Gillis, Lance Jones at all like 37% three-point shooters and up. Like Mason Gillis is like a 50% three-point shooter. And it's like, all right, you're going to double Edie then. You've got a 40-plus percent three-point shooter who's going to be open then.
I mean, it's a lot like that 2017 or 2018 team where you had Haas down low. Obviously, Haas is nothing compared to Edie. No offense to Haas. But then you surrounded him with PJ, Dakota, Vince, and Ryan Klein – or Carson or Ryan Klein. It was like pick your poison with that team. And this team is just another level with just the fact that Edie
because Haas was a great player, but Edie's National Player of the Year.
Big. Yeah. Like he was just big. Like that's what it was. Like Haas, he could shoot free throws pretty well, but like Haas, if he was 3 feet out, it was not gonna happen. Like he could if he wasn't at his spot, it was not gonna happen. Whereas Edie can make things happen.
Yeah, and Edie's a night and day rebounder compared to Isaac.
Yeah, I looked at because I was again this whole Edie talk with national people has just been pissing me off. But I looked at like Isaac Haas's career stats and his like career like average is like 4 rebounds a game. It's like Edie has that in like 5 minutes.
Did he do a double double in the first half of all 4 games in the tournament so far?
If not close,
I feel like he's game. I know he did at Utah State. I know he did Gonzaga. And pretty sure he did 10. Maybe not in 10. Maybe he had like 9 in Tennessee, not like 16 and 9 or 18 and 9.
Yeah, I don't think he had the rebounds for Tennessee, but I think he had the points because him and Connect were just back and forth all game.
Stupid. Yeah, and he had a quiet. Well, I mean, Connect
got cold a little bit the second half.
Mm-hmm. For a while, Edie was having a quiet game points wise because he was getting, you know, some of it, of course, at the free throw line and it doesn't add up in your head as much. But then it's like, oh man, he's closed in on 40. And then he got 40. It's hilarious because on the drive up Saturday, In the car I was in, I said, I wouldn't mind a Purdue player. I didn't even name Zach. Just said Purdue player going off for a 40 burger like Carson did in 2019. Lo and behold, Zach went and got 40. Yeah.
He could have had 50. And
He could have.
I haven't looked it up. I'm assuming it feels like the two times Purdue played Tennessee, that was like their worst free throw shooting game. So Purdue was 64%. I'm sure it's just like exhaustion just because of
Tennessee. That's it. I think it has to be that. It's absolutely just sucking air.
Yeah. Mitch Collins brings up a great point. According to Facebook comments, Purdue should be 0-37 without refs helping Edie. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And Robbie Hummel said it great. I think it was today or yesterday on the Big Ten Network. He's like, Robbie's like, I played with lost 7-footers and they sucked. He's like, a lot of 7-footers didn't like basketball. We're playing basketball just because they were tall and that's how they could get into school. And I mean, you still got to be able to catch the ball, have good footwork, fight through contact, make free throws, which is a rarity for a big guy. Mm-hmm. Zach can do all that. I mean, people, he's a very skilled basketball
player. He played 39 freaking minutes. Like, yeah. He sat for 30 seconds. Like, that's unbelievable.
It's really hard to understand how coordinated Edie is with how long and how far apart. And then also, like, his hands. I don't know, like there, like Smith had, I think he got a dunk out of it in the first half. Like, there was a pass that he zipped in there from, like, 5 feet away. That was, like, out here that he caught. Like
I mean, I don't think anybody else
on the team catches it. Even, like, not even because of his arms, but just because he actually, they didn't catch it, like, super clean. But, like,
yeah,
got enough of it and then two-hand dunk.
Yeah.
He's a very athletic 7'4" man who weighs 300 pounds. It's
I saw someone on Twitter, they posted a clip of the game saying essentially like they showed a clip of one of the Tennessee, I can't remember his name, how he was guarding Edie really, really well. Like, he was fronting him. Like, we couldn't get Edie the ball because it was when Braden shot that shot with like 4 seconds left, that three. That was, I remember I texted the group and I was like,
yeah,
you need to shoot that. And you're like, he had 4 seconds. Like, yeah, he could have done something else.
You're probably right.
But I mean, whatever.
I think he was good on the rim because he knows Edie's down there. In the
right, yeah.
There's like a 50-50 chance he's going to get it if he gets it on the rim. Yeah,
yeah. But someone's like, you know, that's a great way to defend Edie, but the problem is you can't do it all game because Edie doesn't take a play off. Like, he fights every single play, and it's just, that's why guys end up fouling so much because they're just freaking exhausted and they can't keep up. And that's the thing, is what people are idiots and don't understand. It's just like, it's just, I mean, it's not the... Yes, he creates contact. I'm sure he gets away with some stuff. I mean, it's, yes, of course.
Everybody does.
Though, everybody does. I saw Damask. Damask pushes off every single time he backs someone down, doesn't get called. It happens everywhere. But like,
and the dude from Gonzaga throws a moving screen, number 13.
Yeah.
His shoulders every time.
It was just like, it's what, I mean, it is what it is. Like, yeah, I complain about it, but I mean, it goes both ways, but just the fact that like, Edie just does not stop. And so like, eventually you just wear down because you can't keep up for that long.
Yeah. It's, he's been so fun to watch, and it's just crazy to think, I mean, we're really gonna have one game left to watch him or two games at Purdue. And it's just wild. And it floors me how many people don't understand the 3 second rule, offensive 3 second rule in college basketball.
Yeah, well, that would require them to actually like research and do anything. So,
I would also say
Brantley obviously won the Big Ten Assistant Coach of the Year. I mean, obviously he should get some credit for this too because Purdue's been absolutely dominant. But has Edie had, again, I don't know, maybe this is bad to say with what you just said, but has Edie had a 3 second call this year? I mean, he's constantly moving and reestablishing position. So one, either the offense is designed well enough to get him to move. I mean, to move people around, so he kind of is doing that. But and then he also has a really good internal clock because he's probably been coached that way by Painter and Brantley. Because which is absolutely insane because that's like he should get the. I mean, he basically it's okay. Find Edie in the lane. Like 95% of possessions this year when he's on the court, it's been all right. Come down and give it to Edie in the paint, and he has done just an incredible job of knowing the rules and getting out of the lane.
You see, he's been putting in pick and rolls way more this year than he ever did last year.
True. That's true.
And also, just like it just blows my mind. People don't think, like, if you don't think that, like, I mean, when you get to that level, I mean, coaches especially are freaking psychotic. And if you don't think that like Matt and Brantley have combed every single letter of the rule book and to know like this is what we need to do to make sure that we don't get called for this, like, you're stupid. Like, you're out of your mind. People think that they've done that. Like, especially someone like Painter, who's just so meticulous at that. Like, yeah, you're out of your mind. If he hasn't even consulted like officials of like, hey, what do you guys look for in this situation? Like, I'm sure so many coaches do that. But yeah, but people are stupid. It's just really what it is.
It'll be Purdue against everybody else on Saturday as they play NC State, 11 seed, worst record to ever make the Final Four. DJ Burns is the darling of America right now as far as
he's awesome
players left in the tournament. But hopefully Zach can have his way with DJ.
I mean, Zach's had his way with everybody, so I kind of like his chances. I don't
I don't like DJ Burns' chances, I guess. I mean, I'm sure he'll have half his moments, but.
Hey, someone brought up a good point, too. I mean, Edie going against Travion for a couple of years probably has to help him a little bit. I mean, definitely Burns has definitely a little bit of Travion in him. He's obviously a little bigger in terms of weight.
Great Obador or whatever, the guy for Utah State that was supposed to be. It wasn't as big as DJ Burns, but it was kind of similar where he was a.
Yeah.
I think he was a better 3-point shooter. Maybe not now. Was he the one who made or EK was the one who made two?
EK was the one who's made like
he made six all year and three of them were in four of them were against Purdue. Yeah.
I mean that the guy
for Utah State that was supposed to be like, oh, he's gonna be a matchup problem because he's 6'8", he's athletic, he's a good good like Travion, Williams, but a little bit.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously that worked out well for Purdue, but that was more than just Edie, but also that was.
Again, well, Webby, why don't you go over the box scores for Friday and Sunday, and let's break down some of these stats. Yeah,
so against Gonzaga, Purdue. So Purdue for the game shot 32 of 56. That's 57.1% for you mathematicians. Three pointers, they went 9 of 20 for 45%. However, they only went 2 for 7 in the second half. Free throws, look away, free throw complainers, because Purdue only shot 10 free throws all game, went 7 for 10, shot 7 in the second half, which Edie, scored? That was Utah State game where only scored, 2 points in the second half.
2 points,
Utah State. Yeah. Led by Zach Edie, 27-14, 1 assist, 3 turnovers. Braden Smith, 14 points, 15 assists, 8 rebounds.
I couldn't believe when it flashed up one time he had 12. And I'm like, he has 12 assists? He loves playing against Gonzaga.
Yeah. Lance Jones, 12 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. He went 2 of 6 from 3, 5 of 10 from the field. I forgot Braden Smith also played all 40 minutes, too. I didn't think about that. Fletcher Lawyer, only other scorer, only other player with double digits points. He had 10 points, 2 of 4 from 3, 4 of 7 from the field. Trey had 6 points. Mason had 6 points, and Cam had 5 points. Miles, Ethan, and Morton played but did not score. Gonzaga was led by EK, 18 points, 2 of 4 from 3, 8 of 15 from the field. Nolan Hickman, 16. Ryan Nemhard, 14. Anton Watson, 14. They shot 31% from 3, 6 of 19, so definitely below their average, I believe. And they were 4 of 7 from the free throw line, so they didn't shoot very well from the free throw line either. Just overall, I mean, Purdue was up 4 going into half. They scored 40 in both halves. Gonzaga 36 and 32 respectively in each half. But it just kind of absolutely ran away with it in the second half. Purdue only had 9 turnovers, so that was one thing, which I know Gonzaga doesn't really turn you over a ton, but they're a team that if you do turn it over, they're gonna get out and run. Held them to only 5 fast break points. We dominated points in the paint. They had 26, Purdue had 42. I mean, point each team only had 8 points off turnovers, so just a dominant.
Was that against Gonzaga? Was that when Purdue had 0 bench points?
No, Miles had 5. Okay. Or sorry, no, Cam had 5 and Mason had 6, so we had 11.
Okay, let's get
they only had 0 bench points.
That's right. Tennessee against Tennessee, correct. Purdue only had 0. That's
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was a nice win, 5-0 all time now against Gonzaga, I believe. So, no reason to be scared of them, I guess, going forward.
I guess so. After the Gonzaga game, going into the Creighton Tennessee, I know we kind of talked about it off when we were in our text chain. But who were you guys pulling for, Creighton or Tennessee?
I was pulling for Creighton.
I did not want to play Tennessee again.
I
liked the matchup against Kalkbrenner down low for Edie better. Not that Tennessee had anything down low that stopped him. Clearly, since he got for 40, but I thought it was more would have been more interesting. But then again, also I think
Creighton was kind of like what you talked about with Gonzaga, Tanner, where they could
offensively they can get hot.
Yeah, they can get hot. If one guy goes cold, they can have other guys pick it up. Whereas Tennessee, all season it was Connect and nobody really stepped up to help.
Right,
consistently. Ziegler had his moments, but
not yet. Not on Sunday.
Not on Sunday.
They went away from him pretty quickly. And it was the whole first half. It was, well, you guys didn't see, you were there. The whole first half of the TV broadcast was, they kept showing Ziegler's mom and talking about him, how he's this great defensive player, which he was. But then the second half, it kind of, the tune changed a little bit as far as the broadcast was. I think he was like 2 of 10 at that point, and Smith had 9 in the first half. And
yeah, those broadcasters were annoying me Friday, so I was glad I missed them Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Was it Lapis? Was he still on Sunday? Jeez.
I didn't realize that.
I had a text that someone said, like, Robbie, I'm like, man, where's the, like, the bias or something? And then I didn't see him. I didn't realize he was on the radio.
Yeah, he's a Westwood One.
Which is big time. I mean, to do that, to get the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 on Westwood One, you're moving in the right direction in the industry for sure.
Moving at the box score, Tennessee game, Purdue led obviously by Big Z, 40 points, 13 of 20 from the field, 14 of 22 from the free throw line, 16 rebounds. The big stat for Tennessee fans, one personal foul for ED, one assist, only 2 turnovers, 1 block, only had 1 block, but it was a big one. 1 steal. Fletcher likes playing Tennessee. He had 27 in Maui, he had 14 this game, 4-12 from the field, 1-5 from 3. About 5 of 6 from the line was huge. 3 rebounds, 4 assists, only 1 turnover. Braden had 9 on 3 of 6 shooting, 1 of 3 from the field, 2 of 4 from the line, 7 turnovers, 7 assists. Lance Jones had 7, 1 of 4 from 3, but the 1 was absolutely massive. 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and then Trey was the only person who scored. He had 2 points, 1 from 1 from the field. Purdue was a team. What shot 24 of 53 from the field, 45%, 3 of 15 from 3 for 20%. That has to be our
I agree, Dick, on YouTube boiler up Clay Travis's. Yeah.
What did
Clay Travis say this week?
I haven't seen his exact words, but the guy's always SEC homer.
Oh, yeah. he loves Tennessee. Purdue 3 of 15 from 3, 2 for 20%, 21 of 33 for 63.6% from the line. Tennessee shot 24 of 62 from the field, so they took 9 more shots than Purdue. 38%, they were 11 of 26 from 3 for 42%. Most of those came from Dalton Connect, who was 6 of 12 from 3, and they were 7 of 11 for 63.6% from the line. They were led by Dalton Connect, obviously 37 points, super well-rounded, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 turnovers. Zakai Ziegler, 9 points, 1 of 8 from 3. Yikes. Josiah Jordan-James, 8 points. Jamal Mayshak had 2 points. Really, the big guy off the bench was Jordan Ganey, who I think didn't really play a whole lot coming into this tournament because Santiago Vescovi had been taking his minutes, but he had the flu in the Creighton game, and they only played 13 minutes this game. But he had 2 big threes, what seemed like huge threes at the time. But Purdue, big thing, only 10 turnovers. They had 20 points off turnovers. A lot of those were breakouts. So, I mean, I heard after I was listening on my, by the time I got back to, like I said, I'd stop in Fort Wayne and drive back to Indy, I was listening to the One Shining Pod with Tate Frazier, and they were talking about this game. So at that point, they had released the podcast already, but they were kind of saying that Tennessee was actually pretty lucky to be in this game with the way that it was going. Cause I mean, Dalton was keeping him in this game, as you figured he would. I mean, he's an incredible player. He'll probably finish second to Zach in player of the year voting. It'll be a distant second, but he'll be second nevertheless.
But the Tennessee fans a couple rows behind me kept yelling that he's the best player in the country. Best player in the country.
Well, there was some time with the wrong opinion.
And then whenever 13, I can't think of his name. I think it was their reserve center.
Estrella.
Yeah.
JP Estrella.
The few times he scored against ED, he's too slow. He's too slow. They weren't saying that when he blocked Dalton at the end of the game.
So. Yeah.
And they shut up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was a little worried because like I didn't know where our tickets were. I mean, I knew where our tickets were gonna be. We were in 211. I was like, man, if this is in the middle of a, because I was like prepping my sister and her boyfriend for, I was like, this fan base is next level stupid. Like win or lose, it could be brutal for us. Like I was trying to psych myself up for a, you know, just a get my trash talk ready if I needed it.
I didn't have one, and the hockey jersey I've been wearing is 7-0 now in the season, so I'm continuing to wear it. But I don't have one anyways, but I wish I would have had something of the Music City Bowl. I could have worn a hat or something.
Yeah. We had a few in our section, but they were fine. I mean, I honestly didn't really hear them a whole lot. It was heavily Purdue where we were at. But yeah, I mean, had it not been for Connect shooting 6-12 from three, you know, Purdue has some pretty stupid.
And that was all in the first half. Yeah. Maybe like 4 or 5, like in the first, like 15 minutes was of the game. Five,
yeah.
Yeah. But had, you know, I mean, yeah, they just didn't have anybody else step up. I mean, like I said, Zeigler was like 1 for 8 from three. They just had absolutely no help.
Well, and if the Boilers just knocked down a couple open threes, exactly, they expand the game. You know, I mean, thank goodness of the three threes that hit, Lance hit the biggest one with 2.5 mm-hmm. minutes to go. Thank goodness. But even that one didn't go down clean. It ran around a little bit. But
all the ones that Purdue shot, I mean, they were wide open too. It's just they missed them.
Mason and Fletcher kept getting open ones. I just kept waiting for them to hit, but they just weren't going down.
How about Fletcher, though? Fletcher, how many
big threes it felt like a Fletcher hit? Like, whenever Purdue has needed a stopper, I mean, Braden, too, but Fletcher, it seems like, wants it. I think there was a point, I think when he hit his one, I think it was like a 1-point game or a 2-point game, and it pushed it back to five with 4 minutes, 5 minutes left or something.
And he had a big two off a curl. It was like 5 minutes in the second half, but Tennessee was starting to get some momentum. He hit that, and then he takes it to the hole with aggression. It doesn't always work, but he's playing with confidence right now.
Some of his high off the backboard layups that I have no idea how he makes them. They look terrible.
Well, it's probably one of those, Andrew, too. He's throwing it up, and he's like, if I miss, Zach's probably going to be around. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it works out. I mean, either he makes them way more than I feel like he should. Yeah. But then Edie usually tip slams it in if he does miss. So it works out either way, but he gets – I don't know if he gets hammered or if he always
falls down.
Yeah.
And it just looks bad. But he's a lot of them.
That kid is tough, though. I cannot wait. I mean, he got a lot of crap this year, you know, especially early on, like when he wasn't playing well. And I mean, there's like
rings. I was hard on him.
This kid, did he even like sniff the weight room in the offseason, that sort of thing? And it's just like, I mean, he looks, but that kid is a gamer.
Yeah.
I love his, like, I mean, you hear like Brian Neubert painting like his competitiveness. Like he's an ultimate competitor. And after the game, I'm not sure if you saw it, Tanner. I think they showed it on the Jumbotron and I noticed it. Cause I was a little worried, like, you know, when we win, I was like, God, is it going to feel like, okay, we've arrived. Like, hey, we did what we needed to do. Like I kind of mentioned the last pod on one of the other podcasts of like kind of the Rose Bowl in 2001 of like, hey, we're just happy to be here. Like we're just gonna be happy to show up to the Final Four and be like, and then get, you know, our doors blown off by whoever we play. But as soon as the game ended, Fletcher was celebrating and he was like walking around the arena. Did you see it, Tan? Mm-mm. This is like moments after the horn blows, he's walking around, you know, celebrating with fans, and he's holding up his fingers. He's going two more. So just like, okay, they heads in the right spot. Like, you know, it's not like we've arrived sort of thing, but like, they know, I feel like this team is just on a mission and it's incredible to watch.
And as Dick points out on YouTube, he went home with a chair.
That cracked me up. I thought someone said that maybe like he wasn't allowed to take it, but like the way he like just that short. I watched that video so many times because it just cracked me up. Like just again, like this team is so likable and just that's what sucks. I mean, it's cool
enough. Likeable for Purdue fans. For everybody else in the country, absolutely not.
I like that Purdue's being hated. They're playing the role of the enemy perfectly.
Yeah.
Let them do it again, and then say Purdue wins and UConn wins. Then all of a sudden, for the first time all season, pressure's not on Purdue. Pressure's on UConn going into the championship game.
Yeah.
NC State, and assuming it is, say it just, I don't know if we get ahead of ourselves, but if it is Purdue UConn, do you think at that point it flips and then it says, okay, who does the country want to see UConn be?
No, I think
dominate because they've won every game by. I think 17.
They want to see Klingon embarrass Edie or like do something. Yeah. They want to see Klingon like make Edie look human. It's like, oh, see, like he played the moment he played someone, you know, his size, he sucks or whatever. Like there'd be something stupid like that. Mm. Or it'll be the whole thing. Like, you know, if Purdue and UConn play and UConn wins by 20 or whatever, they do these stupid 50-0 runs or whatever. It's like, oh, see, Purdue was frauds. It'll be something dumb like that.
Now, I will say on a 30-0, it was unbelievable what they did on a 30-0 run. But it wasn't UConn played very well. It was also Illinois couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. and they just gave up on the game plan of trying to drive.
So. Well, they just like, I mean, it was just like they were hitting. There was just like the definition of insanity. They just kept driving at clinging, hoping something would change, and it wasn't.
Because Underwood's like, well, I don't care if he walks 100 shots, 100. We're going to keep going in 100 times. Like, all right, Brad, good one. Wasn't able to use a squirt gun after the game. You know, I'm all good about the having fun and all in the locker room, but dude, keep your shirt on, man, Brad. We don't need to see that.
No, but I know, and the people like comparing the Purdue locker room that like didn't even celebrate at all until obviously the Final Four and yeah, Illinois that, and they're like, oh, this team just has so much more fun. They're so much more closer together. I'm like, I don't think so.
No.
I was going back to like Purdue being hated and all that. Someone pointed out, and I just kind of blanked on it. Oh, it was like, you know, you think like with the, you know, Purdue's history and, you know, first time in 44 years, like, you know, I feel like this would be the team great that people, like, it would be a great story. People would rally behind it, but just like, again, just the, again, it's just like, it just blows. And again, I need to, you know, if Edie was a guard, it wouldn't matter. Like if this was, you know, if Braden was put up these numbers, it'd be the talk of college basketball. I mean, he is talk college basketball, but like because he's, you know, he's, you know, comes from the 90s, essentially. It's
you know what's funny, though? When you say that, I'm looking around the NBA. A lot of the teams winning right now, and a lot of teams have won championships recently, have a good big guy.
Yeah, Jokic is not small.
No, he's a big sitter. He's got talents, unlike Law-centered, but, I mean, okay, they're not winning championships, but Anthony Davis, he used to, like, teams wanted him to do shooting more. He's like, no, I don't like this. I want to go back down low where and he's dominating again. Luka Garza. Wow. Luka Doncic. Wow. That was really bad. Luka Doncic.
I mean, he was a dominant big in the Big Ten.
He was. But Luka Doncic, he might be the best guard in NBA, and he's a big guy.
Right.
So the Warriors did it with small ball. But besides that, it hasn't really worked. Right. So is Edie going to be a star in NBA? Probably not. But he can make a good living being a reserve center. And you are out of your freaking mind if you don't think you can play in the NBA.
Was it Kenny who said that? That he's like, you can. I mean, I think he was. It was during the first. Maybe it was during the Utah State game. After that, where he's like, he is absolutely, absolutely like an NBA player. Like, you put him in. And he said 6 minutes a half, and he just like changes the game in those 6 minutes. So and then you get major contributions in 12 minutes. Okay, that's a fourth of the game. Whatever.
You make a lot of you can make a ton of money, you know, being a
good role player. I mean, like, if he can go, and then I think he can do more than that, especially with he's showing with his conditioning. I mean,
The
NBA game is so much with the shorter shot clock, it's a lot more up and down and running. And yeah, he's not the quickest guy because he's way bigger than everybody else, but he doesn't move that bad.
Justin Yeoman here on Facebook, the most hated team to never win anything, unreal. Yeah, it is. It's because they have a dominant big guy who's going to be back to back national player of the year, and a lot of people can't stand it.
And you get somebody
for 30 seconds before hoisting up a shot. Like that's fun to watch. Good God!
And you get so many people that don't even watch the game and just look at that and say, "Oh my gosh, Illinois had 40 fouls and Purdue had 6. How does that happen?"
It's like Tennessee's like 270th in fouls given up and Purdue's 13th. So it's like
the one's disciplined to foul, one's not.
Adu. So they're forwards. Adu took 4 shots. Awaka took 3 shots. Estrella took 1. Okay, so they're big guys.
Estrella was an oop off it. It was a dunk.
Exactly. So their big guys took 8 shots total in the lane. Then their guards were pulling up. Like Dalton Connect had so many little, like he had like a bunch of like 10 footers, like just inside the three that were wide open because Edie was like,
defensive scheme the whole freaking time is to get into those tough twos, those 12 to 15 footers that are the most inefficient shot in all of basketball. And they fell right for it.
No doubt there were fouls missed on like on Purdue, but there's also 100%. More fouls missed on Tennessee. Honestly,
There was an inbound pass. Someone threw it to Edie. He jumped up for the ball, and like the guy was literally hugging him as a waist. Because I remember my sister freaked out about it, and they didn't call it.
I loved when Awaka probably was like literally like arm barring Edie, and then Rick Barnes is like, that's not a foul. I'm like, that is the rule. Like the rule literally says you can't arm bar, and like Barnes is even like, that's not a foul. I'm like, You were demonstrating the rule, buddy. Like,
yeah, there was a couple times. I'm sure I noticed every game I go to, but I really noticed it. Like, they would finally call a foul about after about 10 seconds. I mean, there's a few times they're just grabbing Zach and pulling on his jersey.
Yeah,
I'm like, just blow the whistle. Like, come on. Somebody's going to get hurt.
I don't know if it was, it might have been Bowl of Sports or something, but they're like, there was a play where like the guy had like two hands on E's back for like 10 straight seconds. And I finally called it. It's like, nothing changed.
Yeah. But, it's unbelievable. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah. But definitely great experience. Evan, would you say it's the best sports experience of your lifetime?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. That, I mean, I wept. I wept after that game ended. And yeah, it just made, I mean, I don't know if it makes it worth it, but like, just like seeing that after, like, again, being at Louisville for the Virginia game, like watching at Andrews Department Purdue get boat raced by 35 against Kansas, like watching, you know, the Texas Tech Sweet 16 game, like the Little Rock game, watching at a B-Dubs on the northeast side of Indy. Like, I don't know why I did that, but that was stupid. but just like, I remember just like just sitting there just like, holy shit, it happened. Like, you know, like, Katie was there. Like, you wish Kliz could have been there. You know, the fact that Robbie was there was so cool. You know, John Hart's being shown on the Jumbotron. That was pretty cool to see. You know, I looked at my phone at one point and I saw that Carson, Vince, Travion, Aaron Wheeler were all doing, we're going live with each other on Instagram Live, like immediately as the game ended. Like, that was really cool. Like, you know, you wish, you know, so many guys could have had the opportunity, like Robbie, Big Dog, all those kind of things. But like the fact that, you know, Painter was able to get it, you know, and with this team is just so cool. Especially after last year,
he'll never admit it, or maybe he will months down the road. But you got to think, Matt, after the game, just breathe.
Yeah. He sounded like he was.
He looked
teary-eyed a little bit.
Hasn't changed his philosophy, how he goes about doing things, and it worked. He proved it can work, and now it's like the program got over the hump, and we've seen this with other programs. Like, I was talking with one of our good friends today that's a Purdue grad that lives in Connecticut, and we were talking about Purdue and Connecticut, the possibility of them in the championship game. He's like, think about Connecticut basketball. They had never made a Final Four until 99. Look what they've done since then. Sometimes it just takes getting over that hump, and winning just happens. I mean, and Purdue's been a great program. They've won 1-1, just haven't got over the hump in March. Now it's finally happened. It could open even more things up going forward.
I mean, obviously the joke was with Painter is like, kind of going back to our early conversation, like, he's a great coach, but you know, he hasn't been to a Final Four. He hasn't won a championship, which obviously that's the next step. But it's like, now you can say, like, you know, he has, you know, he knows what it takes to get to a Final Four, and he can sell players on that. Like, hey, like, I know what it takes to get there, and they can believe him. Cause it's actually happened now. It's like, you know, obviously,
UConn only has one regular season title in 18 years, 2006 and this year. And then they just go nuts in March. In March, they either get knocked out in the first round
or
win it all. It's 2009, they made the Final Four and did not win it all, but still.
When UConn beat Creighton, I think on the road, I think it was that way.
I think it was UConn or Creighton. That was UConn's first win against a ranked opponent on the road in like 15 years or something.
That's absurd.
It was something, I think it was that way.
Lost at Creighton because Creighton like boat raced.
Okay, them. Maybe it was Creighton.
Maybe it was like Creighton on the other way around. Like, I forget what it was. It was something stupid.
Somebody, yeah.
It was something like that where it was like UConn's first. I think I was like, that's nuts. Yeah.
Going back to the Tennessee game, Mitch Melton here on Facebook said, watch the last 2 minutes of the Tennessee game. You'll see why Edie doesn't get fouls. He gets beat. He lets them go. Almost needs to be more aggressive, like the connect block at the end when you only have one foul that late.
Well, he just knows, like, he just knows it's not.
He knows when it's time. He's learned that. Because early in his career, he was a fresh brother. He was fouling a lot in those.
If you're going to get a layup, don't give up an and one. Like, because obviously the momentum comes with that, and obviously another point potentially, missed free throw, offensive rebound, like whatever. It's like, if you get beat, like, he's just a smart player.
All right, Andrew, I know you got to sign off real quick. So before you go, I want your score prediction for Saturday and your MVP.
Edie's MVP
easily. I think I'm going to say Purdue wins fairly comfortably. I'm going to say like 84-71.
I'll take it. Sign me up. Sign me up. So.
All right. I got to go.
See you. All right. Thanks, Andrew. See you. So, it's, man, still unreal. Who did you want? Did you want Duke or NC State originally?
I wanted Duke just for the one. I think Purdue can beat Duke. I think Purdue can beat Tennessee or NC State, obviously. But just for the just to say, you know, again, a good team you beat Duke. Whereas, like, I mean, now, like, obviously, now, like, with NC State, they're going to be the darling of the Final Four. Like, everybody's going to be cheering for them. Whereas, you know, if they played Duke, you know, you probably have a lot of Duke haters, probably hopefully cheering for Purdue. I really didn't like. I kind of forgot about the game. I remember we were driving home. I checked my phone. I was like, holy crap! There's like 10 minutes left in this game, and Duke's down like 7.
Yeah.
But I mean, NC State's been on an incredible run. I can't. What they've done going from playing first day of the ACC tournament, you know, they're probably going to fire their coach to winning the tournament to, you know, making a run through the tournament. Obviously, it helped. I mean, again, it sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. You know, Duke knocks off Houston because Shedd gets hurt. Otherwise, you think Houston probably handles NC State.
On second round, they play Oakland instead of Kentucky. And even that game goes to overtime, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they beat Marquette, goes like 3 for 30. Three when they played them, but that's part of it, and you got to think, you know, when's gonna run out
on the run. I saw someone compare it to maybe like VCU in 2011 when they made the Final Four and just absolutely ran out of gas and lost to Butler. So hopefully that's the same.
Mason and I don't know what year that was, like 06, I think. Yeah, 06, but they lost to. Who would that have been? That would have been UCLA, I think.
Okay.
UCLA or Florida, one of those two.
Okay. I do wonder, like, I mean, when we talk about Purdue's mindset, you know, mental state going into this week, you know, I definitely think Purdue probably has a better head on their shoulders because, like, this is what they've been working for. Whereas, like, NC State, you know, 3 weeks ago,
wasn't even
dreaming of this. And now it's just like, do they get distracted or whatever? I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
They're on an incredible run.
Well, and this Purdue team had to make the Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
The pressure, no team played with the amount of pressure that Purdue played with this year because of what happened last year. And that's what makes the story even better. Now, can they replicate and finish the deal like Virginia did in 2019? Sure hope so. We'll see. But they've put themselves in good position to give it a try.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, they're 9.5 or 8.5 point favorites against NC State last I looked, and then UConn was 11.5 point favorites against Alabama last I looked. But, you know, Alabama could, if they get hot shooting, they could keep things interesting. They hit 16 threes against Clemson. They probably have to hit that and a few more.
So they hit UConn, 19 against Purdue and still lost.
Yeah. They don't play 25. Defense. They don't play defense. So
you have to hit 25 maybe? Or?
But, you know, all right, say we win against NC State. Would you rather UConn win and see what happens, the best against the best, or do you want another crack at Alabama? I mean,
part of me wants to say UConn for the, like, you know, it's the two juggernauts. People have been, you know, it was, you know, Purdue was the best team in the country. Then, like, you know, probably around January is when it was like, okay, UConn's probably the best team in the country. That kind of, that whole narrative. So it was like, hey, let's put it to rest.
Yeah.
But they look unbeatable right now. So it's like, whereas, like, you know, Alabama, you know, we're going to score because they don't play defense, and you just hope maybe that they have an off shooting night, in a football arena. I think I'd probably rather play, you know, Alabama just for the sake of, like, let's win a freaking title. I would hope Purdue UConn is a really good game. But this is what they've been playing. Like, if you had said, like, hey, UConn beats Purdue by 20, I wouldn't question you a whole lot just because, like, they can go on those stupid runs that they do. But I feel like with UConn, you know, they're, when Klingon's in there, they're incredible. But when he's out of there, they're not, you know, they're still really good, obviously, but they're not the juggernaut that they are. And if there's anybody who can get people in foul trouble, it's Zach Edey.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I still think Purdue's best it might be good enough to get UConn. Yeah. I don't know.
I think, UConn's the only team where it's like, if Purdue plays their best game, if, like, any other team, like, I think if Purdue plays their best game, they're going to win. But I think UConn's the only team where it's like, it may not be. You may need some help outside of just playing your best game.
Yeah.
But
Hopefully that's something we have to worry about. Take care of the Wolfpack Saturday first. And then it's wild to me to think Purdue's a victory away from having an opportunity. Playing for national championship. It's just foreign territory.
So you know you're doing another sports podcast. I know you started that one in 2016, and since then you have not covered a Broncos playoff game.
Nope.
If I had gone back and told you that when you started that podcast that Purdue was going to make a Final Four and told you when it was going to happen and said, hey, they're going to make it in 2024, so 8 years from now, they're going to make a Final Four, but you will not see a Broncos playoff game from this time on, would you have believed me?
No. God, no. I would have. I said, because at that time, the Broncos still had a good defense. I'm
right.
Like, I'm like, they can back their way into playoff 1 year, go 9-7 or 10-16. God, did I not know they weren't ever going to find a quarterback and then play $1 billion for one that didn't pan out. Now they're in quarterback hell. But no, that's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. I've seen Purdue make 2 Elite Eights and now Elite Eight and a Final Four in that time span. But I would trade a Bronco play. And I love the Broncos. They're my second favorite sports team besides Purdue, but I would trade a Broncos playoff drought any day for this. So man, it's just enjoying this week.
Had the wife enjoy her first March Madness.
She liked it, but she was stressed. she looked at me one time through the game and it's like, oh, this is stressful. Like I tried to tell you, it's roller coaster emotions in a March Madness game live, or just March Madness period, but
in general,
especially being there live. And there was 1 point, 6 minutes to go, I thought I was gonna pass out at the game. I don't know. I don't know if it was just going up and down, sit, stand. I don't know, but I looked at her, I'm like, I don't know if I was dehydrated. I'm like, I'm going to pass out because I only allowed myself one beer because the price of beers are so expensive. I'm like, I'll do one.
Let you know a little secret. So I did two that game because I have drank two beers every game. In the Grambling State game, I drank a beer because usually I'm like, I don't want to, you know, I knew it'd like help me level out a little bit, but I was just like, so I didn't want to, you know, get too loose with my words watching from home, but I was like, I had a beer and they went on like they were a huge run. I'm like, maybe I have another one, see how this goes. And then I did it for the Utah State game and did it for the Gonzaga game. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this again for the remember it was like my dad and I got one before the game, and then like it was probably we had 10 minutes left the first half. He's like, you want another one? I'm like, yep, I'll go get one.
Well, you better have two Saturday.
Oh yeah, 2 Michelob Ultras, $30. So
I had a
the price, and I was like, "Excuse me."
The one I went to was either Bud Light or Labatt Blue Light, so I did Labatt Blue Light, which I like Labatt Blue. So Canadian beer. So
That. I didn't get it, but I saw it. I was looking for an IPA, but I was like, "It'd be $40."
Oh yeah, it's crazy, but that's part of it. But it was stressful, but God, it was fun.
So the real question is, are you making it to Phoenix? I know we had Cameron Day in our chat saying he's in Phoenix, but I don't think.
Unless something crazy happens, I'm not going. My parents are going. A lot of my family is going. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it work, unfortunately. But I just keep telling myself it's not going to be the last time. Yep. And it's not going to be the last time. So, because, you know, and I understand people saying, you know, what's the lifetime opportunity? I totally get it. Until again, that's a big reason why my dad is going, because when he was a freshman in 1980, he was one of the students to get picked in the lottery. $35 Final Four ticket, Mark Square Arena, Indianapolis, and he thought it was too expensive. So he didn't go, and he regretted it to this day. So so they're going, and they've went to every game so far. So might as well finish the deal, and more power to them. I hope they have a great time. So
are they, God forbid, if Purdue loses on Saturday, are they going to stay for Monday, or are they going
to
come home?
They're not flying back till Tuesday.
Okay.
But I don't think they'll go to the game Monday if Purdue loses. They'll probably sell. I don't know. I think they've already bought all their tickets up front Saturday and Monday. I think they got all in one session, I think. But I could be wrong on that. Yeah. But no, I know some other friends of mine and people I work with that are going and stuff. So
It should be really cool. Continue to produce, obviously. That's what, honestly, that's what I'm sad about missing the most. Obviously, the game is whatever. But it's just just getting there is that's the, it's not even the game. It's just getting there is what's tough, because flights are outrageous right now.
Yeah, they are. I know my cousin had a really tough time finding a ticket. It took him 30 minutes on the phone with a couple different airlines, and then he found one yesterday or today to get it wrapped up. So, I'm glad. I'm happy for everybody that's making the trek out there, and hope you have fun. And remember, it's in Glendale, and it's like a 30-minute drive from downtown Phoenix. So remember that when you're preparing to get there for the game. Give yourself a little extra time.
Yeah. Because I forgot.
It's kind of in the boonies out there in Arizona. I've never been, but that's what I've heard. It's kind of in the kind of the boonies out there. Whereas where the Diamondbacks play and the Suns play are more in Phoenix downtown. So you know how that is as a Bears fan. For a while, the Bears were talking about putting a stadium outside the city. More and more teams are starting to do that. So
yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm not even. I'll be nervous. I'm sure Saturday. I'm not even nervous right now. I'm just like
no,
just happy.
At this point, last week, like when it was okay, we were going Sweet 16. Gosh, I was like Monday. I was great. I was like, we're on Sweet 16. Tuesday, I was like, okay, I'm getting a little nervous, antsy. But I'm just scrolling Twitter, seeing all the stuff, and obviously seeing now the team's headed out there tonight. Just looking forward to it. What's just so cool is obviously Purdue's been a national story all year, but it's now there's only four teams to talk about, and Purdue is one of them. We're going to hear so many cool stories and so many cool segments going on. So hopefully, just the Zach Edey and Purdue haters can see a cool side of this team that they haven't seen or they refuse to look at because they're a special group of guys, and it's awesome. It's just so awesome.
So score prediction MVP for Saturday.
Part of me thinks it might be a lower scoring game just because, you talk about shooting backgrounds. None of these guys have shot in something like this before, I would assume.
Well, Mason, Ethan, and Zach have in the bubble year. All the games played at Lucas Oil.
That's true.
Totally different setting.
Yeah.
And Purdue shot really well that game. They just didn't win.
Yeah, too many turnovers. Yeah. I'm going Boilers 76. To 65. MVP, why not? Big Z. I'm looking forward. DJ Burge is a cool story. Cool. He seems like a really awesome player. Zach can move, which is kind of he's just so big. It'd be hard for, Burns to get those turnarounds and those shots over him. And I just think he's not going to be able to stick with DD for that long in the game.
Yeah, if Purdue can get him in early foul trouble, watch out, because NC State is not deep. They don't have a deep bench. No. So
no. They have some good shooters, so hopefully they're not hitting. But they're in the 40s for both offense and defense of KenPom. So, Purdue just played the third best defense in KenPom and still put up 77 points or whatever it was. So, it's just funny to see also, too, just because – I thought about this whole if Purdue were to make a run for the national championship and the narrative like, well, they didn't play aside from the 16 seed, they didn't play a double digit seed the whole time. That's why they did it once. Now we're playing one in the final four. So go figure.
Yep. It's they haven't made a final four since 83. Alabama never. This is their first trip.
Again, it's crazy. You think about it, going back again, to Purdue, the Purdue mindset of we haven't made one since 1980 of George Mason's made one, Butler's made two, freaking FAU and San Diego State last year. It's just when is it going to be our turn? Some schools have just never done it. Which is wild.
I still find a weird one years ago with South Carolina and Oregon in the same year.
Yeah.
Now it's another random SEC school. Almost got another random ACC school with Clemson, but we didn't. But yeah, I'm going Boilers too. Of course, I'm going 82-68. Boilers that I do think Zach will be MVP, but I'm going to take somebody else. I'm going to take a guy who didn't have any points the other day. Don't remember how many scored Gonzaga. If it was any, wasn't many. Mason Gillis. He's got to hit some trays.
Yep.
Saturday.
Seeing him after the game,
oh, he was.
Everything he's gone through and it was just so cool to see. You can just tell the guys just how much they, and the fact that, Zach ran over the painter immediately after the game.
That was so cool. The guys respect him so much. That's why Robbie broke down. The former players are proud to play for Math and want it for him so bad. Because they know he does it the right way. I don't think we have to worry about him going anywhere. I think he's gonna get a nice raise after the season.
Yeah.
He's gonna get a nice raise. And I guarantee he gets a bonus. Every coach in their contract has something written about getting to Final Four, you get a bonus. On top of that, I'm saying it's time to make him one of the top paid coaches in the Big Ten. He's eighth right now, I believe. It's time to make him.
It'd be interesting to see, one from a basketball standpoint, like what this does for the program moving forward. Like, you know, like I feel like we saw like a little bump in recruiting. We were like, or like again, talking like it was Purdue cool after
yeah. the run yes.
because of Carson. You know, now it's okay. We've made the Final Four. And some of the note that, you know, everyone mocked us for not being able to do. But I was just wondering, because I saw a thing about the football team. It's like, you know,
yeah.
for the athletic department as a whole, it's like, okay, like, you know, because Purdue's kind of been, you know, the team, the program, you know, yes, great athletic program, but, you know, the one that doesn't really have the titles that, you know, some other athletic programs have. But it's like, now it's like, man, they did it. And it's not like the basketball team's out here, like, paying five stars and, you know, getting all the top right. elite talent and, you know,
right.
cheating essentially. So it just shows that, hey, if you do it, I mean, it can work.
And I know it's a whole different ball game when we're talking football. It's a right. basketball making the football, but if you don't think this doesn't light a fire under Ryan Walters and his staff,
mm-hmm.
I got something else for you, because I guarantee yeah. you, I mean, I know a lot of work, but I'm not saying Purdue's going to be in the college football playoff in the near future. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying
I'm not saying it, though.
I know. Hey, especially when the Big Ten gets four spots in a few years in the playoff. But no, he knows four. I'm not trying to make this a football podcast, but and he knows 4-8 is not good enough. And like mm-hmm. he knows, like he's not satisfied. He knows there's work to be done. He's going to be in Phoenix, he said. So I love seeing that.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm guessing Dave Shondell's probably going to be out there or try to well, be
they canceled there. They canceled like a scrimmage.
Yeah, against was, Wisconsin. Yeah. yeah.
Which again is just so cool. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing that I miss the most. Just like seeing like just the Purdue community, just seeing, you know, people yep. who interact with on Twitter all the time, like being yep. getting a chance to meet those people. That's what I'm going to miss the most if I can't go, more than likely can't go.
Yeah.
And just like, because I mean, we saw it like at the, again, the Virginia game of just like how many people were like former players, people were there at that game. Yep. We had a small, kind of similar thing on Sunday, but it's just yep. like, you know, if you can make it, you know, go absolutely, you know.
Yep. Yep. If you can make it, go. And if not, maybe try to watch the game with a loved one who's a big Purdue fan mm-hmm. or some friends, or surround yourself with good company. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Make it a good time. Make it a good time. Unless you're a psycho like me, people don't want to watch the game with me.
Yeah. It's same. After the game, she's like, "You're surprisingly positive." And I was like, "Okay, I'm not that negative." Like, I was like, "This team actually has given me like yeah. makes me." And like, when I'm at games, I don't like to be negative. Like, I'll do that at home sometimes. It's just because like I hate fans who are negative like in person, just because it just bothers me so much. But it's like when I'm at home, like no one can hear me. Like if I say something dumb, but like at games, I usually try and be as like as encouraging as possible. But yeah, this team is just like I get nervous. Like I was a nervous wreck the whole game, but it was just like, especially when we were down 11, but like they've shown so many time again of just how they can just, they just don't back down.
They're fighters.
Yeah. It's awesome.
They're fighters. And shout out to the dude that was standing next to me during the game. I mean, this probably doesn't really single him out, but he was wearing a Tiger hat and then produced stuff. That was probably a lot of people up there, but, mm-hmm. We had a good time watching the game together. We were vibing pretty good on the same level, messing at the refs and stuff. And then
yeah.
in the game, we didn't know each other. We got our arm around each other, jumping up and
yeah.
down.
So, yeah. That mess was yeah, so cool. I was yeah. high-fiving as many people as I could and yeah. hugging my sister, hugging my dad. That was
yeah.
that's what made it special.
Yep. It was great. And a day I definitely never forget. And hopefully we have more days like that in the future.
Yep.
Future. So, but if you are not able to get out to Phoenix or specifically Glendale, I should say, and it's a 6:09 tip on TBS Saturday night. TBS, not CBS. TBS.
Turner Broadcast. Oh, I didn't even station. Realize that.
Yes, for the Final Four and the national championship is TBS.
Wow. That's, okay.
They've done that 2 or 3 years in a row now.
I don't know why.
I know
it's been at CBS.
I know the percentage of the country that has TBS is pretty high. Anyways, like compared to what it used to be. But anyways, where I'm going with this is if you're trying to figure, no, nobody wants to cook on Friday, especially on Saturdays, 6:09, get yourself some Mad Mush. Enjoy the game. Get yourself some Mad Mush. The Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom. It's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're known as the home of the original cheese sticks. But whenever Evan, Andrew, or myself visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer by trying out their latest pizza of the month, which is April. That's another thing I didn't even really mention while I said it's April 2nd. But we're finally talking about a meaningful game in April for the first time.
Right.
The breakdown. We're usually crying at this yeah. time because we have to wrap up the season. But but it's April. With that said, it's a new pizza of the month. And this month, it's the loaded baked potato.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's garlic mashed potatoes topped with bacon, cheddar, mozzarella cheeses, and finished with chives. Served with a side of sour cream starting at $14. So next time you're in town, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5. Claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. And we got a few more sponsors to go over. Another one is the newest sponsor we had, and it's just for the March Madness run, and that is Autograph. Autograph is co-founded by Tom Brady himself. It's the app where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like you access to all the best college sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards like crazy discounted tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. Look out. They are going to have discount tickets for the Final Four and Championship dropping later this week. So look out for that. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing the things you already do as a fan, like listening to the Boiler Breakdown podcast, following news on your team, sharing your favorite content, and more. Download the free Autograph app in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and use referral code BREAK. That's all lowercase BREAK. See you at the game. And last but not least, we got the shop.
Yeah, the shop's been making the hometown apparel since 2011. It started out in the garage and basement. So they've got three retail locations in Indianapolis area. You got one downtown, you got one in Broadup, we got one in Carmel. Stop in. They've got incredible merch. They just came out with a new Final Four shirt. Mm-hmm. So make sure you check that out online. If you're shopping online, haven't bought from them before, make sure you use the promo code BREAKDOWN for 25% off. If you want to get an Indiana State shirt for their NIT run, go for it.
Are they winning? I'll look it up.
To check. They've got everything for you. Incredible shirts, sweatshirts, drinkware. Super comfortable. Good people, pretty people. We love having them on for another year. Hope to have them on in the future. We have shopindy.com, promo code BREAKDOWN. You get 25% off your first order.
Indiana State won 100-90.
Wow.
They're in NIT final against either Georgia or Seton Hall.
That's awesome.
Good for the trees. They're making a statement to the committee.
There they are.
So, I mean, can't do anything about it now, but good for them. Good for them. So, all right, Webby, any final thoughts as we head into the Final Four game against the NC State Wolfpack?
Man, it's crazy. I mean, no matter what, we're going to have one more episode for this to wrap up the season.
We'll sneak one in before if we happen to win.
Yeah.
Maybe we can sneak one in before the championship game.
Yeah, maybe some on Saturday night or Friday or Sunday, Sunday, something.
Yeah.
But obviously now we're part of Big Banter. We'll be trying to bring an episode about once a month in the off season, talking obviously once basketball season ends, we got spring football coming on.
Yep.
Transfer portal, the never ending saga of the transfer, especially with football.
When people don't transfer anymore.
Yeah, right. Anything off season news, basketball related, be interesting. Interesting off season for basketball. We'll make sure we do stuff every single month, whether it's just a normal episode or maybe something fun like an interview or trivia show as we tend to do. I can't believe it. The Purdue's in the Final Four, first time in our lifetime. Obviously, our dads were both in college when it happened.
Yeah.
I just think back to us being in school. Obviously, you got to see the end of the Baby Boilers. I was 1 year late to that. I saw, the Robbie's last year, which was fun.
Still made the best basketball toss catch I've ever seen at a game against High Point.
Yeah, snagged out of the air. Cat-like reflexes. Saw two awful years.
Oh, boy. I was thinking about that.
And then the tail end was, when Vince, PJ, Dakota, and Isaac came in. And I just think, the students are on campus right now. It's, so awesome for them. This is what makes lifelong fans out of those kids. I think back to, again, when we were in school for football, especially, we weren't very good. I remember I talked to people on campus, hey, you going to the game? Trying to have a conversation, no, we suck. Why would I go to the game? And it's, you wonder, did they, after they left Purdue and if they, moved to the other side of the country, did they continue to follow Purdue football? I have no idea. But this will definitely help those who, if you weren't born into this curse, if you want. It's not a curse anymore, that's for damn sure, because we're going to the freaking Final Four.
Absolutely.
But if you're like, if you became a Purdue fan because you're a student now, like this cements it for life. Welcome to the brotherhood.
That's one thing I've always loved about Purdue fans is Purdue fans usually like Purdue for a reason. It's not because they jumped on the bandwagon due to success, or, you know, historically it was like Notre Dame football and Indiana basketball fans. There, mm-hmm. You know, you like Purdue because you went there, or you have a sibling or a friend that went there, or a different family member, or your dad grew up a Purdue fan. There's some mm-hmm. connection there, is what I'm trying to say. And that's that. And then there was a really nice guy behind me the other day, and a guy next to him asked if he went to Purdue. He goes, nope, I'm actually from Michigan, just a fan, just Purdue fan, and always have been. So, I mean, just this is awesome. It's just awesome to see everybody come together during this time and enjoy it. And I should plug this real quick. Fans with Boiler Breakdown, you don't have to wait till this weekend to hear Evan's thoughts even more. He's going to be appearing tomorrow night.
Yeah, big banter. We'll have the Big Ten Huddle, obviously previewing the Final Four. So I'll be on there, represent Purdue, and try and hold myself together.
What time is that?
9 o'clock Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern. Yep. We'll be chopping it up, having fun. JR is awesome. He does a great job with that show. I'd be interested to see with this news of Bronny James potentially. Could he land at Ohio State? We'll see. Maybe get his thoughts on it tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see.
One Big Ten school to another? Well, not technically Big Ten yet, but yeah. That would be interesting. So he's not going to NBA. That's
for sure. No.
Well, Webby, let's do the damn thing. Let's get one step closer to the national championship. Let's boil it up, hammer down, beat the Wolfpack.
Boil it up.